Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer. Verse number 5 of chapter 2 of Philippians. Philippians is my favorite book in all the Bible. I love the book of Philippians. Verse 5, a well-familiar piece of scripture. It's actually the first scripture of a section of scriptures that we all ought to memorize from verse number 5 to verse number 10 or verse number 11. All Christians ought to memorize that. I hope you can memorize, or I hope you can quote verse 5 to verse 11. But we'll just read the first verse, verse number 5. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in..." Somebody help me. It doesn't say the guy beside you, does it? "Let this mind be in you." Not only the preacher. Not only the preacher's wife. She sure needs it, don't she? If anybody needs preaching in the church, it's got to be the pastor's wife, you know. Not just the Sunday school teachers. Not Brother Wendell only. But you. We that are saved. Anybody say, any saved folks in here? Amen. "Let this mind be in you." What kind of mind? Well, first of all, it was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, let your mind be Christ-like. Our Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the good testimonies. I thank you for these people, Lord. They, through the years, have done so much, Lord, for your glory, for this church, for my family. I thank you for them. I pray you'll bless them as I try to give what thus saith the Lord from my heart to their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. You figure you're going to hear that one word you always hear before I preach, and that word is an introduction. So I'm going to give you an introduction, and an introduction simply means I want to introduce you to where we are so that you can be ready to obtain the Word of God and it'll bless your heart. I want to say to you that Philippians is a letter that was wrote by the hand of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote many of the books in the New Testament. And this was one of those letters. And we call them the epistles. And these epistles were letters that were wrote by men of God such as Paul and Peter, James and John, and Jude also. And God used these men in a great way. Now, you know that in the book of Acts, you'll read about a woman who sold purple linen, purple clothing and fabric and so forth. Her name was Lydia. And you remember, I believe it was in the second missionary journey, there was actually, you look in the back of your Bible, about every Bible used to have Paul's first missionary journey has arrows drawn. And then it shows in another color, Paul's second missionary journey. So we believe there were two missionary journeys that the Apostle Paul made. And we know that in his second missionary journey, he went to the city of Philippi. Now, we know that while he was there in Philippi, that there must have been no synagogues or churches in that town. Because the Bible says that Paul went down by the river. And there at the river is where Christians would go to pray in fellowship. They would have their prayer meetings by the river. There were a lot of trees there. They could sit or stand around the shade tree by the river. And they would worship and pray unto the Lord. And so Paul came to Philippi and he preached and Lydia got saved. Well, Lydia asked Paul to come to her house so that he would have something to eat so that she could fellowship. Her family was there and the family got saved. And it was through that first Lydia and her family being saved that Paul, by the instruction of God, established the first church probably in Europe. Probably the first church, Baptist Bible-believing church ever established in Europe was established in Philippi under the direction of the Apostle Paul. And so we know that Paul spent two imprisonments in Rome. Two imprisonments. During his first imprisonment, when he was in prison, the believers at Philippi, the Philippian believers, they sent a man by the name Epaphroditus. Now, Epaphroditus was a good man. The Bible speaks about Epaphroditus, and he was a good man. Not a lot said about him, but it does mention his name. Now, we know, according to history, that when Epaphroditus went to the Apostle Paul to bring him gifts from the believers at Philippi, whether it be probably papyrus or animal skins to write upon, maybe some type of ink so he could write, maybe jackets, coats, food, clothing. They brought gifts by the hand of Epaphroditus from the church of Philippi to the Apostle Paul while he was in prison for preaching the gospel. While Epaphroditus was there, Epaphroditus got severely sick and almost died. But God touched him, he recovered. And while he was there, Paul wrote this letter to the church of Philippi. And on the return of Epaphroditus, he brought this letter back to the church of Philippi. And we know it today as the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. And so it's the book of Philippians. Now, there's a lot in the book of Philippians that I enjoy to study, but I want to just direct your attention to chapter 2. The verse says in verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." It says, "which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, I believe that our words are to be Christ-like. Can I get a witness? I believe our thoughts are to be Christ-like. I believe our actions are to be Christ-like. I believe the Bible teaches that our reactions are to be Christ-like. I believe our temper are to be Christ-like. I believe our patience are to be Christ-like. I'm telling you, there are so many things in our life that we need to understand needs to be Christ-like. The word Christian was given to the believers at Antioch. They were first called Christians at Antioch, the Bible says. The word Christian simply means Christ-like. We've got a lot of saved folks, don't have that many Christians. I'm telling you the truth now. I'm not trying to bark at you. At times I'm not Christ-like. And I'm telling you, we've got a lot of saved folks. They've been washed by the blood. They're on their way to heaven. They're as good as there because they're in the Father's hand. Nobody can pluck them out. They have eternal life. Nothing will change, but they're not Christ-like. Now, I don't know about you, but there's times in my life that I'm just not Christ-like. Sometimes the things I say is not Christ-like. Sometimes the things I think is not Christ-like. You don't have to amen, but I know it's true in your life too. There are some times that I act or react, and they're not Christ-like. Now, we're going to narrow it down to our minds, our thoughts. And the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." I'm talking about having a mind that is Christ-like. Now, we know the scripture that says those things. My wife, she has to hold on to this, and it's one of her life's verse, the things that are true, the things that are honest, that if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. We're bad about thinking about the negative things, aren't we? We're bad about thinking about the wrong things. We're bad about getting our mind wandering off some left field somewhere when we ought to be not wondering about or worrying about what might happen, but rest our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and the Almighty Word of God. And so he says, "Let your mind be Christ-like." Now, what kind of mind did Jesus have? Let's go over this. Go to verse 1 of chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, "If there be therefore any consolation." Consolation is a word that I guess we could say it means comfort or it means encouragement. Paul says if there be anything that consoles you, brings you encouragement, he said that's what your mind ought to be thinking upon. You know, I don't want to think of those things that discourage me. Sometimes my wife and I will talk about things that have or does discourage me. And she knows what I'm going to say. I'll say, "Honey, I'm going to say this, and I don't want to talk about it." And I did that today. I said, "Honey, I'm going to say this, and I don't want to talk about it." And we end up talking about it because it was my fault, not hers. Because I can tell her that, and she can just sit there and shake her head. And then I get mad because she don't want to talk about it. Amen. I want to hear from her. Don't you care? I'm just doing what you told, honey, dear. But sometimes we get our mind on things that discourage us. Is anybody going to amen? Ain't that true? We get our mind on things that discourage us. It's amazing how many people in God's house and God's family need encouragement. I need encouragement too, but God forbid that I need it all the time. Somebody that needs encouragement all the time needs to grow up in the Lord. Because you're supposed to do the encouraging at times. I mean, I'm glad I can get encouraged, and there's times that I need to be encouraged. But there's also a whole lot of times I'm supposed to be the encourager. Amen? And if you always need encouragement, how can you encourage others? Okay? And so he says if there be any consolation, any encouragement, what encourages you? What can you think of tonight when you're discouraged that would encourage you? I don't even have a list of things. I don't even have no notes. I'm just giving you what's on my heart. I would say if you're discouraged, one thing that would encourage you, think about the love of God for you. That ought to encourage you. That ought to encourage you, as Brother Tim said. He said, I don't know why God loved an old sinner like me, why the Lord would come and die on the cross for an old wretched sinner like me. But I like to think about it because He did, because why? The love of God encourages me. Amen. We need to think on those things. We need to think that our Lord not only died, but He arose from the grave. And because He's living, we live. Amen. That ought to encourage you. You ought to be encouraged that you're saved. Amen. It's funny now. It's funny now because I've said it so often. And I think it's funny. I'm not making fun. I just think it's humorous. When I ask people, say, how you doing? They say, I'm not feeling well, but I'm still saved. It's almost like you better say that because that's what the preacher is going to say. That's what the preacher always says. Hey, that ought to encourage you. No, I don't feel well at all at times too. But I'm still saved. I'm not going to hell. Hey, man, I'm not in the hospital bed somewhere. Hey, man, I'll tell you what, those things ought to encourage you. Think on those things that bring consolation. What encourages you? Then second of all, he said, now let that mind have a mind that is full of thoughts of consolation. He said, have a mind like Christ that, number two, is full of thoughts of comfort. He said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort, what comforts you? What comforts you? I know that I'm not ashamed to say this because I am a man. Not ashamed that I'm a man. Not ashamed that I'm tender at times and I cry. Doesn't bother me. I was watching Matt Dillon the other day. I love Matt Dillon. And I'm watching him. And Doc Adams sent a letter by the new Doc that he wasn't coming back. He didn't tell nobody bye. He said he couldn't do it. And he sent a letter. And I tell you what, it took everything for me not to boo-hoo. I mean, I wanted to cry. I mean, Doc Adams not in Dodge City? How can that be? And they read the letter. And boy, I tell you, Kitty got to crying and I wanted to cry. And Festus over there, he was fighting the tears. And I looked at Festus and I wanted to cry. I mean, it was killing me. Doc Adams is not coming back. And I thought, I said, you know, I looked at, but then they showed Matt Dillon over there and he was just sitting there and he... And I thought, come on, Matt, at least shed one tear. The man never cries. And I guess you couldn't cry when you're the marshal back in those days, especially at Dodge City. That was a wicked place, according to historians. But I'm telling you, he just don't cry. And I thought, you know, I'm never going to be ashamed that I cry at times. Now, I don't want to cry because I'm a wimp, but I want to cry because the Lord touches my soul, my heart squeezes it. I want to try. I ask God every time I go to a funeral. And God and the how many of the last funerals and I'm putting myself out there to say this because next funeral everybody's gonna be looking at the preacher, but I've said, Lord, whenever that family walks down that aisle, put me right in the midst of that family's feelings. Let me feel just a little bit of what they're feeling. And a lot of times I stand there and I'll start weep or I'm about to weep and I know I have to be in control and get a hold of myself so I can be a blessing. But God breaks my heart. I'm not ashamed of tears, but there's some things that comfort me. There's times that things hurt me and my wife puts her arms around me and holds me close and that comforts me. There's times I've been hugged by you and it comforts me. Hey, the love that people share to you, don't that comfort you? ought to bring you comfort. Think on those things. Next time you want to think the negative and you want to get depressed, down and out, start thinking about the ones that love you and how they're not ashamed of you. Whenever they see you in public, they don't mind hugging your neck. Amen? They don't mind saying, "Hey, brother, how you doing? Praise the Lord." Think on those things. Amen? I mean, the way I preach and the way I stand, I thank God people in my church, when they see me, they say, "There's my pastor. Hey, pastor." I'm like, "Well, praise the Lord. They're not ashamed of me." Amen? Some people dart the other way, but there are some that say, "Hey, there's my pastor right there." Amen. Hey, think on those things that bring consolation. Think on those things. Let that mind be that it brings comfort. And then look what it says, comfort of what? Who? Love. Love. The mash question. You don't have to amend it. Don't you love love? I love love. I love it. I love love. And I thank God for love. And we had one night away from our children. Our children will be leaving hopefully tomorrow if nothing changes. Go and pick our kids up, come back Tuesday. And I miss them. I miss them. I miss them so much. And so the place that we were staying, just Angie and I. And I thought, man, it's just Angie and I. I said, we don't get this often. Just her and I. It's going to be great. And I just had, you know, these big old plans of all the things we're going to do this weekend when the kids are gone. And the first night our kids are gone, I thought, you know, and I'm not being off color, but I think, man, I'm going to get to cuddle. I'm going to get to hold my wife. It's just going to be me and her. Ain't no little Chauncey, or she calls Matthew Chauncey. Please, no, I shouldn't have said that. Don't call Matthew Chauncey. But that's her pet name for Matt. But Matthew comes between me and Mom all the time. They are tight. And I thought, it's just me and Angie. And so the first night, we both went straight to bed. She slept all night. I slept half the night. Amen. That's the way it was. We're just tired. We got up today, and we went to church, got home. Guess what? Took a nap all afternoon. We have spent some quality time together. Amen. We've been to the hospital. We've been visiting. And we did go out to eat a couple times. That was really good. And a lot of things going on. But I said, it just didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out. But I love love. I love sharing love. And I love receiving love. God says, if you want to have a mind that is Christ-like, have a mind that is full of consolation. What consoles you? What comforts you? What do you think of when you think of love? I'm talking about real love. Then he says, go on, verse number one. He says, let it be Christ-like concerning if there be any what after love? Fellowship. Fellowship. You know, one of the best things to do, and we all don't always do this. I've told you what kind of person I am when I'm sick. Better leave that there. I've told you what kind of person I am when I'm sick. I like to go to my room, shut the door, leave me alone. That's the way I am. I just feel like that I might bite your head off. And the good opinion you have of me, oh, the preacher, he loves us all. He just, blah, blah, blah. And I said, boy, I tell you what, I've seen the other side of the preacher. Man, I guarantee you, he's a rough. But I know you may not be that way. I just like to go to my bed and just let me, you know. Angie has to knock at the door. She knows, knocking at the door. And I said, who is that? She said, I got some chicken noodle soup. I said, okay. And she tiptoes in there, you know. You may not be that way, but I don't like to be messed with when I'm sick. I like to be alone. But I want to ask you something. When you get down and out and discouraged and you get sickly spiritually, I wonder how good it would do you if you just call somebody up and fellowship with them. Just call somebody up on the phone and say, you don't have to tell them what you're going through. You may open up to them later in the conversation as the Lord leads you. Don't do anything the Lord's not led you. I tell you, there are certain people you don't tell your spiritual problems. Just keep it to yourself. Amen? Just keep it to yourself. No greater people that loves to spread rumors. No people is greater than spreading rumors than the independent Baptist people. They can spread a rumor in a heartbeat, buddy. And now if you do something good, they ain't going to tell nobody. But you make one mistake, they're going to spread it all over Facebook, all over the texting, all over the emails. They're going to let it, boy, let's text this, let's email this person. Boom, 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 boom. I'm telling you, we have to be careful of that. And so be careful when you share some things in your life. You better be very careful. But you can fellowship with them. Come on the phone and just begin talking with them and fellowship. Fellowship will really help you. I know, do you know Jesus, the only times he was ever alone when he walked upon this earth was when he was praying. When he had prayer meetings. Other than that, he was always with Peter or James or John. When he went on the Mount Transfiguration, he left 9 disciples, but he took 3. Peter, James, and John. I mean, when the Garden of Gethsemane, he left 9, but he took 3. Peter, James, and John. I'm telling you, the Lord had a mind to fellowship. Let's fellowship one with another. Okay, my daughter would love to hear this message tonight. She always wants to go out deep with somebody. She said, "Dad, you know we need to fellowship." Amen. I said, "There's a difference between getting fat and fellowshipping." Amen. And so we need to fellowship. And then notice what it says there. There's the bowels of mercy. Bowels of mercy. You ever heard what the old folks used to say? I used to hear the old folks say, and godly old folks, they say, "Hey, when you feel down and out, when you feel discouraged, when you feel like everything's going wrong, make a basket full of cookies and go take them somewhere to somebody that is in need too. And it'll do you good." I don't know how many times I've walked into the hospital. I've walked into Scottish Rite. I've walked in the nursing home. I've walked into a home where hospice has been called in. And before I walked in that door, I had my thoughts on my own troubles, on my own heartaches. And then I went in there and saw what somebody else was going through. And I leave there rejoicing, not because they're going through that and I'm not, but rejoicing because God's still been good to me. And I believe that bowels of mercy, I believe you ought to try to help each other. You know, when you're down and out, make a chocolate cake. Wendell called the other day and said, "Keith was over there and Sheila and brought him some food, I think, Brother Wendell." And I thought, that's fantastic. I don't know why they don't come to our house. They go to Wendell's. But anyway, you pray that alter heart towards the pastor. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But I thought, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. You know, when you get down and out, call somebody on the phone, bake them something, send them a card. You may be the one that needs the car. You may think you need the car more than anybody else, but send them a card. Bowels of mercy. You remember that message I preached? I entitled it, "How's Your Bowels?" You remember that message? Good. I think say, how could you forget that message? How's your bowels? I talked about our bowels, and the bowels is speaking about our love and emotions for others. He said, let that mind be in you. Then it says, verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy." Fulfill ye my joy. If you want to be full of the joy of God, you want to have that fulfillment of joy, we need to be Christ-like. A Christian will not have the joy of the Lord who is not Christ-like. Did you hear me? Can I say that again? A Christian that is not Christ-like will not have the joy of the Lord. You cannot have the joy of the Lord and be filled with the joy of the Lord if you're not Christ-like. So you say, "I'm lacking that joy." Well, what area in your life are you not Christ-like? So he says there, we need to fulfill ye my joy, that ye being like-minded. There it is again, like-minded. He said, I want you to have the mind of Christ. Verse 5, the mind we're speaking of is the mind of Christ. Be like-minded, be Christ-like, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know, another way to... It shows us the mind of Christ is to have a mind of unity with the Scriptures and with the Lord. You know, so many Christians that they're not united with the Lord. They're saved. They're part of the body of Christ. But in their faults and in their everyday life, the things they do, they're not united with the Lord. They're not having their steps ordered by the Lord. The Bible says a good man, his steps are ordered by the Lord. They're ordered. And when you're not walking with God, you're not in unity with God. Are you with me? You're either in unity with God or you're not. Period. Period. You're either in unity with the Lord right now or you're not. You're in unity with Him or you're at odds with Him. And so we need to have a mind that is a mind of one accord with Jesus Christ. Verse number 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But watch this. Talking about our minds. But in, somebody help me, lowliness of mind. Lowliness. What does that word, what do you think that word means, lowliness? What is another word that we could use? Humble, is that what I heard? Humility? Humbleness, I think the word Brother Keith used a while ago was humility. You know, God will bring things in our life to humble us down, won't He? He will. He'll do it. He can humble us down in a hurry. We need to have the lowliness of mind. We need to be humble in our mind. We need to have that humbleness in our mind. We need to understand where we came from. We need to understand why we're where we're at today. It's the Apostle Paul made it clear. I am what I am. I'm where I'm at right now because of the grace of God. Amen? Lowliness of mind. I despise. That's a strong word, but that's the way I feel. I despise when folks, I mean, whether it be in church or whether it be out in the world, they just think they're better than I am, or they think they're better than my wife, they're better than my kids. And I won't give personal examples, because I don't want to do that, but there's been times, and you've been there too, where you just, a person that you're around, they don't have that lowliness of mind. You're like below them a level or two. I've often been visiting family, somebody's sick, and some family members that come in, and somebody introduced me, this is my pastor, and they'll say, oh, okay, how many folks? I said, well, we're not all on vacation and everything. We have about 100 folks, whatever. We'll have from 90 to 110 on Sunday morning. We'll push anywhere from 60 to 70 Wednesday night. And I said, where we go, we have 500 on Sunday morning. I said, okay, that's good. And because we only have 100 here in my church, they just seem to have that air about them that I'm not, you know, like their preacher, or I'm not good enough to pastor a big church. Listen to me, I have chances to pastor bigger churches. It's not pastoring where you want to, it's pastoring where God wants you to. And yeah, you understand what I'm saying. They look at your house. You may be a friend to them. They never come to your house. They finally come to your house, and then their attitude changes about you. Your house not as big as theirs, or not as new as theirs, or whatever it may be. I just despise that. I don't like it. I don't like it in church. We've got some folks in here that just don't have nothing. They don't just have nothing. They just don't. But they're satisfied. They're content. I'd rather have nothing and be content if I had my choice than to have everything and be unsatisfied and want more. I'll be honest with you. I growed up with nothing, so I don't have a problem right now having nothing. I know how to deal with it. I've been trained to deal with having nothing. Hey, man. I'm not ashamed somebody hands me $1 bill and said, preacher, I'm going to buy a hamburger. Now, somebody said that $100 last week. It didn't embarrass me. I didn't say, oh, my goodness, who thinks that I don't have money in the church? Who thinks that I can't take care of all my needs and my family's needs? I didn't say that. I just was stunned. And my wife and I, we praise the Lord for it. I was raised up having nothing, so I've been trained how to have nothing. Amen? And don't you know that I like to have more? I like to give my wife more. But my wife's been trained up the same way. So we're a bunch of nothings. They got nothing. Amen? Amen? But we've got what really counts. We've got two wonderful children. We've got a home that loves the Lord. My family, my dad preached this morning. I got a mom and dad loves the Lord. My wife's got a mom and dad that's in church loving the Lord. I've got a brother preaching. I got a sister fixing to go to Arizona on a mission trip. My wife's sister works there at First Baptist of Conestoga. And my nieces and nephews all in church. I got a whole lot more than people think I do. God's been good to me. And so we need to have a lowliness of mind. Don't think ourselves better. Watch it says in verse 3. It says we need to esteem other better than themselves. Esteem others. Let each esteem other better than themselves. In other words, esteem or regard. Regard others better than yourselves. Regard others better than yourselves. You know, certain people do certain things and we kind of poke fun or we laugh, but when it comes to the point where we make fun of people, we make fun of what they have, we make fun of how how they live and their house and their car, and we just kind of poke fun at them. That is ungodly. That's ungodly. That's not Christ-like. I mean, if you want to poke fun at somebody in our church because they live in a home that you don't think is much value to it, then you ought to make fun of Jesus because he didn't have a home. You don't make fun of somebody's jalopy that pulls in our parking lot and smoke goes everywhere. I don't think we have that right now. I don't believe. But you won't make fun of that, and they got clothes hangers to hold the thing together. Then you need to make fun of Jesus because he had a donkey. And it was borrowed. I mean, he got it from Enterprise. He had to rent it. Amen? Amen? Let's have lowliness of mind. Let's esteem each other. Amen? Amen? I try to always. People's always say, preacher, you dress real well. You always match. And I match my own clothes up. Do you believe that? I do. I match my own clothes up. I go out and once in a while my wife buys me something, but I match it. She say, you like this? I said, no, I want to match it myself. And so don't ever blame my wife if my clothes don't match. It's my fault. And they said, boy, somebody said, that outfit looks good. I never noticed that shirt would go with that tie, but that looks really good. And I forgot what outfit it was. And you know what I try to do? I try to tell that person, I try to return and say to them, I like your tie. That's a good looking suit. Brother, how many times have I said that to you in the last 2 or 3 weeks about your suits? How many times have I said that? Probably several. I said, brother, I like that suit. I like that coat. You know where he got them clothes from? His brother, who's in heaven right now. Is that right? And some people wouldn't take anything from somebody's son deceased. They wouldn't take anything from Goodwill. I tell you what, half my clothes come from Goodwill. Or was it called GW what? GW what? What do you call Goodwill? Starts with a B, boutique. Yeah, GW boutique. That's what we call it. Sounds better. Sounds better than Goodwill. Amen. Tell me, where'd you get that GW boutique? Amen. Wow, where's that located? If I give you directions, you wouldn't find it. Oh, I tell you what, don't bother me to go to Goodwill. I found some good stuff. I found some wonderful clothes in Goodwill. Amen. And don't bother me. And I see somebody. I said, boy, that tie looks good. I like that. I like that. You look good this morning, you know. And we'll esteem each other better than the other. Someone comes to you and say, boy, I tell you, let's say Keith sung and Angie sung. And Angie comes by and say to Keith, said, Brother Keith, I really enjoyed that song, Bless My Heart. Automatically, Keith ought to say, you know what, Miss Angie, your song, Bless My Heart. I really enjoyed that song. We were sitting there trying to esteem Albert yesterday. A lot going on in his life. I'm telling you, the man wants to be in church. I mean, about cries. I said, Brother Albert, I got folks come all the time, may not have the desire you got, and you can't even come. And I said, I'd rather somebody have the desire. And I tried to esteem him. You know what that man was doing the whole time? He was esteeming us. Now, some people steam me, but he was esteeming. Amen? You know anybody that steams you? Gets you hot underneath the collar? No, he was esteeming. And he was esteeming. He was talking about, preacher, I tell you, I've listened to all kinds of preachers. I watch the TV and I blah, blah, blah. He said, you're the only preacher I've ever listened to that I understand. He said, I've grown so much. He said, I've fallen in love with the Bible. He said, I can't tell you how much you mean to me. I mean, what did he not, Angie? That man, he's so sincere. And then he said, looked at Angie and said, Angie, you sure can sing. And when I left this driveway, I thought, you know, here we are trying to esteem that man. Just got out of hospital, told him he has congestive heart failure, got pneumonia. We were over here to try to encourage him, and we left blessed. That's what it ought to be. Ought to steam each other, amen? Don't steam, but esteem each other. Okay, let's close. And then it says verse 4. We want to continue to have that like-mindedness of Christ, Christ-like in our mind. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Preacher, what does that mean? Does that mean not to look at virtually? It means don't look with the eyes on your own things, but look on the things of others. I thought the Bible said to not do that because that is lusting after what they have. Coveting, that's the word I'm looking for. Coveting, that's not what it means. What it means there is, yes, you need to take care of your family. Yes, you need to keep things right in your home, pay your bills. Okay, yes, but have the mind of Christ, where you're more concerned about others than you are of your own self. Now, that's a hard place to end, because we're not always that way. It's sometimes we forget to look out for other people. Sometimes we think about what we need, we need, we need, we want, we want, we want, what we desire, we desire, we desire, what I like to have, I like to have. And the Bible says if you're going to have the mind of Christ, you need to look out for others. You need to look and see if they have a need. You need to look out for them. You know what I tell my children? They go outside, and you know how wicked it is nowadays. In this world, people abduct children all the time. And so I always tell Morgan, I say, Morgan, now she has to remind this, because Morgan is a type that she's in our own little world. And you can tell I told her that. Well, Daddy preached on you Sunday night. But she's in our own little world. She gets out there and she texts people, and she'll call Nanny and Papa, and we have rules and regulations on who she can text and who she can call, and we keep a limit on it. We don't let her go wild. She's not an adult. She's a 13-year-old, and that's the way she'll be treated until she matures. But she'll go out there, she'll sometimes have her iPod, and the only thing on her iPod is gospel music, Southern gospel music, and she'll listen to that. Well, Matthew's in his own little world, because he's always fighting the Russians, the Germans, and the terrorists. I mean, he's took Bin Laden out I don't know how many times. I don't know if you've ever seen Matthew. He's in his camouflage, and he's always running around with guns and knives, and he's moved on from plastic knives to real knives now. And it's terrifying, Mom. I think it's wonderful. Amen. Go get him, son. Hallelujah. And he said, you ain't supposed to have that knife. I said, leave him alone. He's a man, honey. Leave the little boy alone. And but anyway, you know how fathers and sons are. We want them to shoot guns when they're 5 years old, you know. And so he's running around wild. He was out here at the road a while back. He's in his camouflage, had that mask, camouflage mask over him. If he stood beside a bush, you wouldn't know he was there. And he was standing out there, rolling on the ground, raising his gun up when cars come by. And I said, get over here. I said, get over here now. Here he come. I said, son, you can't do that. I said, them airsoft guns look real. I said, you're going to have somebody who will have a heart attack. They're going to run off in the road and they kill themselves. And I said, you don't want to go to prison for the rest of you. You know, you ever threaten your kids? I said, you don't want to be electrocuted in an electric chair, do you, son? No, Dad. I said, don't do that. I said, go play out there on the other side of the church. And so he gets in his own little world. But Morgan is older. She's big sister. And I always say to Morgan, Morgan, look out for Matthew. Look out for Matthew. We need to look out one for another. We need to look out one for another. We need to keep our eyes on each other. If you see somebody or you hear somebody in their testimony and they share some discouragement or something in their life, look out for them. I hope we all as Christians, when we hear testimonies, our ear just enlarges, so to speak, and we listen to the testimonies. And someone says, boy, I tell you, I've been having a rough week this past week. And so-and-so's this. And it registers in your heart, when I get home, I'm going to write that person a card. I'm going to call that person maybe tomorrow and just tell them I love them. I'm going to send them some money. I'm not going to tell them who I am, but I'm going to send them some money. We ought to look out one for another. Let this mind be in Christ, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let it be in you. God, give us a mind like your precious Son, Jesus Christ. A mind that is godly, a mind that thinks on those things that are right. It's very easy. I need the message more than you do. I need a mind like every single day like Christ had when he was upon this earth. God help us to have that mind. Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.